Job 1 and 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Would you lift your hands, young people, this morning and ask God to help us in the service? Precious God, we appreciate you for these young people that's here. God, if we can do anything, God, we want to help them this morning, Lord, to further their experience with you. Ask you to anoint, God, give us a good altar call. Let us seek your face. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach, if God will help me for a little while this morning, on Satan's big blunder. Satan's big blunder. Job 1, these verses, there's two things that really stood out to me in this text. Number one, you got to understand and realize we look at Job, and Job is up here in our eyes, and rightfully so. He went through a lot. But understand, Job is not in an exclusive club all of his own. Where we read in the Bible right here where God asked Satan when the sons of God appeared before the Lord. And God asked him, where have you been, devil? And he said, I've been roaming to and fro in the earth, looking and watching. And in 1 Peter 5 and 8, the Bible again tells us to be sober and to be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Understand something this morning, young people. Job is not in an exclusive club of people that Satan only picks on them. The club that Job is in is the same one that each and every one of you are in this morning. And it is that we have an adversary. There is a devil. And the Bible lets us know right here what he does with all of his time. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. How many of you believe that the devil is at youth camp this week? You better believe it. He comes to every church service. He goes to school with you. He comes to church with you. He's with you. Maybe not him personally, but some spirit is following everywhere you go. And the sole purpose of that is to seek whom he may devour. He lets us in on something right here, and it's really a shocking, sobering thought when you realize and understand that, yes, we are at youth camp, and yes, we're holiness, and yes, we're saved. But when you realize there is a force in this world, the Bible called him the prince of the power of the air, and when you realize, young person, that he is following us. Has any of you ever been followed? I don't know if any of you drive. You ever felt like somebody was following you? I may preach a little slower this morning. I remember I was at Ray City years ago preaching for Brother Freddie Stone. I had just started preaching. And I drive down the road to get signal on my phone to call out. And every night I would park in the same place. And I remember one night, Brother Jim, this man, this car turned in right beside me. And he whooped around right behind me and come right up on my bumper just real quick. So I pulled out, headed back toward the church, and he got right on my bumper and was following me. I lost phone service, and it was very obvious that he was following me for a reason. So I turned to go up toward town, and I seen a police officer, and I stopped, and I realized this man thought I was somebody else. He thought I was somebody that was looking for him, so he was going to try to intimidate me, and he did a pretty good job of it for a while, because when you realize that there's somebody after you, when you realize that there's somebody looking for you, and somebody, I don't know about you, but I don't like for somebody that's bigger and somebody that's badder and somebody that's evil to be looking and watching and looking for my every move. But that's exactly what's going on in the world today. If you could see spiritually what's going on this morning, there is an adversary after each and every one of you young people. And understand me, he's not there to play games with you. He's not there to toy with you. But he's there for one reason, and it's to destroy your life. An adversary. He's an enemy. He wants to destroy. A lot of people take it lightly. A lot of people play games with the devil. But understand, he plays for keeps. So we find here in the book of Job that we have an enemy that's lurking and looking. It's apparent to me by verse number 10 that Satan had been scoping Job out for quite some time. Because as soon as God mentioned the name of Job, Satan responded in my own words, "Yes, I know Job. I've been watching Job." But what else I find in this scripture that's encouraging to me, that the Bible says in verse number 10 that the Satan knows. The Bible said, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" I see Satan lurking and looking and watching at Job and trying every way he can to get in and attack Job and get in and destroy Job. But this morning, Satan, what I want to preach, Satan's big blunder, I can see him. Has any of you ever said anything and as soon as you said it, you wish you could take it back? Boy, you put your foot right in your mouth. I've done it. This is what Satan did in verse number 10. Because up to this point, we don't know what he's about to tell us. But when Satan opens his mouth and he says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" What Satan didn't understand is what he did. If Satan had ever done anything good for us young people, it was right here. Because he let us in on some inside information that although he is looking and waiting and watching, he's trying to ambush us and he's trying to trick us and he's trying to trap us. He let us know that God has a hedge around us. He gives us that information. He knows that this is our only source of protection from the enemy. The sister that sang earlier, she didn't know what I was going to preach. She got to singing about a wall, a hedge, a wall, a barrier. When I think about a hedge, I think of a barrier or a wall or some type of protection. And understand this morning, in biblical times, a hedge or a wall or a barrier, it played a very important role. The cities of that day were cities that were walled in. They were hedged in with walls. The city of Jericho had walls. They had two walls, the outer wall around 6 foot thick, the outer wall around 12 foot thick, another wall around 6 foot thick. With gates and bars. And the purpose of these walls and these hedges and these barriers were because there were enemies in that land. It wasn't like today. You can't just go in and take over something. You're not supposed to. But in that day, if you had a bigger army and a badder army, you could go in and just take over and set up shop, and it was your city. So these people built walls around their city. Do you remember Nehemiah when he come back to Jerusalem? He rebuilt the wall. Other walls that we see, there's a little city in the Bible named Keilah. It was a walled city. It had gates and bars. I want to ask you something this morning, young people. What is the purpose of these hedges or these walls or these barriers? Are they to keep you in? Are they to make it where you have no access to the outside world at all? Are they making it? I'd have to say this morning, that is not the full purpose of a wall or a hedge. So understand me, every city that had a wall also had a gate. Every place that has a wall also has doors that you can go in and out. But this morning, every one of these doors can be locked from the inside. And the only way out is to walk out the door. But we can make it where nobody can come into this building. That's the purpose of a hedge or a wall. A lot of people's got the idea that it's to keep you in. And it's to trap you and you not to have any fun and you not to have any enjoyment in life. But understand me, the reason that God puts hedges in our life is because there is an adversary. He's an arch enemy of God. And we know he'll never overthrow God. So the next best thing to God is you young people. And God knows if the enemy can ever get in, he'll destroy your life. So he builds hedges and he builds walls around us. They're impenetrable. There's no way that Satan can penetrate one of God's walls. Their hedges, their safeties, their barriers. If I'm not mistaken, I haven't went all the way around it, but is this campground not completely fenced in? I thought it was. There's a gate out here. There's fences. I understand. It's a small fence. You can scale it and jump it and be gone. Somebody could jump over. But what it does, it places a clear distinction in your mind of where this property ends, of the barrier, of where you're supposed to stay. What it tells you is you are supposed to stay in the boundary of this fence. But what it tells to everybody around us is this is not your property. You are not welcome here unless you come in the right way. And that's exactly what God does in our lives. He places barriers and walls, and I'll get to some of them in a little while. But the reason he does it is to put a hedge in our life that lets the enemy know this is as far as you can go. You're not going to lay your hand on them. You can't touch them as long as they stay inside their heads, they're safe. I remember a story of a school. I don't remember where it was at. It was a school around the playground. They had a high fence. And some of the parents began to petition and began to complain. They didn't like to see their kids inside that. It looked like a prison. It looked like a jail. So the school board took the fence down off the playground. And it wasn't very short time later, one of the young children was abducted from that playground. You know the next thing that happened? They began to petition to get the fence put back up again. Because what they thought was prison, what they thought was entrapment, what they didn't understand, that it was a divine protection. It was a way to keep out an adversary. Understand, young people, this morning, that everybody in this world's not happy about you being wholeness. Everybody in this world's not thrilled about you being saved. And if they had their way, they would allure you out. They'd pull you out into the world. But I'm glad God's put some fences in our life that'll keep the world out. I don't know about you, but I want to stay inside God's fence of protection. Some feel trapped. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He felt trapped. He felt like the father's house was bondage and he wanted to leave. But it didn't take him very long to figure out that the father, all of the fences of the father's farm, they were for his protection. Because understand me, outside of God's protection, there is nothing standing between you and your adversary. Is it all right this morning? I need a hedge. Brother Scott, Brother Vic, Brother Brad, Brother John, Brother Guitar Player, Brother Stoker. I need me a hedge down here in the front on the floor. Like I said, I may preach a little slower this morning. Is that all right? I need a hedge. Y'all build me a circle out there. Y'all build me a circle I can get in. All right, I'm in a hedge. Would you agree I'm in a hedge? I was wanting to get Brother Tony Walker and Brother Steve Gentry and some of these guys, but this will have to work this morning. I'm in a hedge, all right? Now, there's some things in this hedge that I can't do. There's some places in this hedge that I can't go. It can feel confining at times. Would you agree with me this morning, young people? There's some times that the hedges of holiness, at times they feel like they constrain you, and you feel like I can't do anything, and I can't go anywhere, and I can't wear this, and I can't do that, and I don't understand why. But there's also a devil. Understand me, he's lurking on the outside of this hedge that I'm in. And although this hedge does close me in, but on the outside, see, there's an enemy of my soul, and he's tempting me. He wants to get me. How many of you agree with me? The devil wants to get every one of you. Every one of you young ladies, he wants to pull you out and destroy you. Every one of you young men, but see, the devil can't touch me inside the hedge. I don't even have to acknowledge his existence inside. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't have to acknowledge his existence inside the hedge. I don't even have to act like he's there, because as long as I stay in my hedge, as long as I stay inside of holiness, as long as I stay inside of prayer, as long as I stay inside the church, there's nothing he can do. Because the Bible said when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I'm inside a hedge. He can't do anything to me. The Bible, you know what it says? Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Resist him in the name of Jesus. I don't have to do it. How many of you have ever had the devil try to tempt you? You know what you need to do. You know what's right. You're in a holiness church, but he's screaming in your ear. And he said, hey, look at this. There's a young lady that goes to our church. Y'all all right? My hedge ain't going to fall on me. There's a young lady that goes to our church. She just graduated. We ain't worried about the devil. There's a young lady that just graduated high school from our church. She's trying to live right and do right. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She went to school, a public school. She went there, and a lot of her friends, they said, hey, Candace, and she'll be here tonight. Hey, Candace, come here. We want to show you this picture. We want to show you. This is so cool. She said, no. She knew the people. She figured it would be something bad, Brother Scott. They said, no, we promise, Candace. It's nothing bad. They showed her the picture on the phone. And it was the most vulgar, obscene picture. And it broke her heart. But that's what the devil tries to do. That's what he wants to do to you, young people. They got their iPods at school, and they got their pictures and their phones. And they say, why don't you listen to this? Why don't you look at this? Why don't you come and go with us? Why don't you go to the movies with us? Why don't you come down to the bowling alley with us? Why don't you just listen to this music? But what he's wanting to do is to lure you outside the hedge. But as long as you stay inside the hedge, young people, there's not anything the devil can do. He can't get in.
Right.
You see him trying to get in, don't you? He can't do it. He tried to get in on Job, but he couldn't do it. But you know what? A lot of young people I've seen, and it's broke my heart. They get tired of being closed in. They get tired. The prodigal son somehow got a far-off gaze in his eye, and the hedge started feeling claustrophobic, and he started feeling closed in. So you know what they do? They don't all of a sudden just push out the hedge, but they try to just, won't y'all hold hands? Y'all join hands. You know what they do? They want to make the hedge a little bit bigger. They try to get a little more liberty. And you see them start picking up things of the world. They start seeing them picking up things that may not necessarily be sin right now, but they're pushing the hedges out. They're getting their borders a little bit bigger, and they got a little more room to work. They got a little more room to go. That's where some of you's been at. You start picking up little things. But I'm just going to preach to you what I feel this morning. Is that all right? And some of you understand me. I don't believe we got to just, I don't believe we got to, you know, wear black pants and white shirts and suspenders and look Amish and our girls wear, you know, potato sacks. But there's some trends of this world that it do us good to leave alone. Would you agree with me, parents and preachers? There's some trends in this world that it would do good for us to leave alone. Because you understand, you can have the look of the world if you want to. But you got to take the spirit that goes with it. That spirit that's in this world. Hey, understand me. I don't want you to leave and say, Brother Johnson's preaching. I'm not preaching against your clothes, your name brand clothes, your Hollister, American Eagle. The reason you don't see me in a Hollister shirt is because they're made for skinny people. I've tried them on. They're made for tall, skinny people. I'm not either of the two, so I can't wear them. But you know what? A lot of people is just not content to wear those clothes and that. They want that look that goes with it. That sissified, effeminate look that goes along with that. But you understand me, not only is it a look, but there's a spirit that comes along with it. And they start pushing the borders out a little bit more and a little bit more. The young ladies are trying to push the limits more and more. And you think the preachers are old-fashioned and they don't want me. No, the preachers have seen it come and go. That the farther you push out the hedge, the closer you get to the world. And then it gets more and more. And then here comes the devil back. And it's not as aggravating. It don't make you cringe as much. It's a little more tempting because you can get out a little bit more. And you really want to stay saved and you don't want to backslide. But there's something there that's pulling on you. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's something there that he's trying to show you things and trying to get you to listen to things. And you want to stay in church. You got a bunch of friends in church. But you're to the age you got a bunch of worldly friends too. And there's a tug of war going on. So you think, you know what a lot of y'all people do? They'll get right here. They'll get right here on the edge. And they'll see how close to the world they can get. They can say, hey, if I can stay right here, but I can still have part. I can still look and I can still. And that's what a lot of young people are doing right now in the day and hour we live in. They got some worldly friends that's pulling on you. You got some people you know that's trying their very best. And you got a praying church and a praying mama that's trying to pull you back in the middle of the hedge. But you're trying to live as close to the world as you can. But you know what eventually that'll do? You'll get more comfortable with him. You'll start letting him just talk to you. I'm still in the hedge. I'm still saved. No, I'm saved. I'm saved. I don't want to do that, but I don't want to lose them as my friends either. I know a young lady right now. She prayed about 2 weeks ago. She prayed through the salvation. There ain't a doubt in my mind. I told it last night. I'll say it again. Some of you know my sister. She prayed through, Brother John. I mean, she prayed. I asked her, I said, did you get saved? She's a type, she wouldn't have said it, Brother Jim. She said, I got saved. But you know what? She won't cut ties with worldly friends. Understand me something this morning, young people. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. I don't mean you got to be mean to them, but if you're going to befriend the world, you're going to have to let go of God's hand. She wants to be right here. But understand, it gets where it don't look as bad. The more you get comfortable and it don't look as bad. And the hedge is still here, but you start wanting to, you know, just kind of get, you want to stay close to the hedge, stay close to church, stay close to God. You don't want to just leave church because you know you've seen some of your other friends and family leave. And you know how to destroy your life. But you want things in the world. So you're trying to hold on with all of your might. And there's a pull going on. There's a struggle going on. And there's a world that's pulling on you. And you don't want to turn loose of the church. Because you know if you turn loose of the church, the world will have you. And then you'll be at the devil's disposal. So you'll go in the world a little while. Then God will move. And you'll snatch loose. And you'll pull back over close to the church again. But then it's a constant struggle. Back and forth. Back and forth. That's where some of you's at this morning. It's been a back and forth, back and forth. But let me preach and tell you, if you ever let go, you can't do this forever. That's what I want to preach. You can't do this forever. There's going to be a time when one of the two is going to win, because you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate one, or either you'll love the other one and hate this one. But what's going on? That's where some of you's at. And then you start losing that grip, and you feel it, and everybody sees it, and they're trying to preach to you, and they're trying to warn you, and you know it's right, but you don't want to let go of the world. But then that grip goes, and then the enemy of your soul has got you. What are you going to do? There's nothing that you can do. The only safety you had is inside that hedge. I come to preach to some young person this morning. You've been playing with the world. You've been trying to get as close to the world as you can. I want to tell you this morning, what you need to do is snatch away from the world and get back in the hedge and say, I might have to live a little different and I might have to look a little different, but I'm safe. There's no enemy that can get me inside the hedge of God's protection. Stay in the hedge, young people. Thank you, brothers. Some of you have been flirting with the world. I'm going to close. I don't even know what time. There's some of you been flirting with the world. There's some of you that's been easing a little closer and a little closer. You say all y'all harp on is clothes and dress and mute. No. Understand me. The standards of holiness are derived from the Bible. And the reason they're there is for your protection. They're not there just to close you in. But understand me. Everything the world offers has a spirit that comes with it. The world's music has a spirit. When the Beatles took this country by storm, it was before my time, with rock and roll music. I was reading something the other day. the spirits that were in that and behind that, the subliminal messages and all of that, the country music and all of these things that some of you are toying with. There'd be some of you this morning, and I'm coming to a close. If I got your iPod this morning, there'd be some of you that would be embarrassed with what's on your iPod. If I got it and listened to it this morning, you'd be ashamed and you'd hang your head. If I got some of your laptops and got on some of your Facebook pages, you'd be embarrassed of what's on there. What you're trying to get is close. But understand, there's a spirit that comes with it. And when it gets a hold of you, it's in control. When it gets a hold of you, you're no longer in control of things. The Bible said, and I'm closing with this in Proverbs, the Bible said, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent will bite him. That's where we're at this morning. I want to tell you and admonish you, if there's anything I can leave, don't break the hedge. Stay inside the hedge. Hey, I understand you will be made fun of. I understand that. It's not always easy, but it's a lot easier than the world. It's a lot easier than what the devil's got plans for you. I come to encourage you this morning, young people. Stay inside the hedge. You're not, I understand it looks like sometimes you're the minority, and you are, but you're not in it alone. How many of you was in Kentucky at the youth conference this year? 5,000 young people, Brother Jim. 5,000 young people that were there still trying to serve God and live wholeness. Hey, I understand it's a hard and it's a pull and it's a struggle, but stay inside the hedge. We're going to give an altar call and pray for a while. I want you to stand with me. If there's any adults that can get us a song, play something on the piano. I want to preach to you, young people. It's not a shame to feel the pull of the world. We've all felt the pull of the world at times. It's not. There's no shame in that. There's nothing that says you're backslid. There's nothing that says you're evil because you felt the pull of the world. But the closer you inch toward the world, the stronger the pull gets. I want to know, as they begin to play, with every head bowed this morning, maybe you're here and you've been feeling the pull of the world. Hey, this is youth camp. This is for you. These are your peers. We're for you. You say, preacher, I've been feeling that pull. I've been feeling that struggle going on in my life. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And I want to run back inside the hedge. I'm feeling things in my heart that I never thought I would feel. I'm starting to dabble with things I never thought I would dabble with. I'm starting to get involved with people I never thought I'd get involved in. And I don't want to go that way. Would you be man enough or woman enough, as she plays, to step out and come to this altar? Say, preacher, I want to pray till I get back in the hedge. We'll gather around you and we'll pray with you till you get back in the hedge. There's there one, quickly, you step out. I know the Holy Ghost is dealing with hearts because I felt him witnessing my heart. Come on here. Quickly. There's one sister. Hey, ain't nobody going to look down on you. Ain't nobody going to think, well, I wonder what they're doing. No, we're for you. We want to help you. There's more. There ain't a doubt in my mind. There's more that need to come to this altar this morning. Right here on the first day of youth camp, you can get back in the hedge. And then the rest of the week, you can spend your time seeking God. All right, I want all of you that will come around this altar. Let's pray with these preachers. Let's come. Let's pray with these young people this morning. God, I want to stay in the hedge. I want to stay in the wall. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to get trapped outside. I don't want the devil to get control of my life. Come on, young people. Seek the Lord this morning.
For a little bit more time, while there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on